This is why the Lord, there are so many people the Lord wants to save, but he's limited by the evil leaven of the day, because he can't use those that are given to the leaven that allow it in their lives. He has to find people that love him sincerely. So the wisdom in all this: love the Lord your God and King, and follow him, and do it his way. Do all that's in his heart, because God loves you. He cares about you. He wants you to know him. And he wants you, he wants a relationship with you. If you don't have a church home, pray and ask the Lord to show you where you need to go. But by all means, study the word of God yourself. Because God can't use anybody. He used those that love him. People that will not be provoked. And don't share the leaven of the Pharisees or the leaven of Herod. People that would be like Jesus. People that would be like John. People that would be like Peter. People that will repent and be like Paul. See, Paul repented. He used to be Saul, the Pharisee. He understood the leaven of the Pharisee, the ways of the Pharisee. He didn't throw rocks at Stephen. He held the coats for the men that did. So his level of hatred was a lot lower. And then he admitted he was deceived and he thought he was right. That's why God saved him. Those that really love God, they will make the adjustments. That's one thing. People that allowed the leaven of the Pharisees to get in them and they felt jealous against others. Understand this. When you are jealous against anybody, any Christian, because they love God, you're jealous against Jesus too. Because they came to you in his name, sent by the Father. If you don't receive their message, you're not receiving the Father's message either. Trying to be the top dog. And there's no such animal in the kingdom of God. We work together. We're the body of Christ. We work together. Now some people, because of their innocence, they're going to be rewarded greater than those who do things out of vainglory. Vainglory is the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. Paul said, do nothing for vainglory. You don't need it. But that's why the church can't reap this harvest that God wants to reap. But they that have ears to hear will rise up. And they that realize they were wrong, they will repent. But Daniel put it this way: the wicked will do wickedly and they won't understand. They still esteem themselves to be of God. And in their wrong, they're going to be damned. The lukewarm church are tares, folks. They're people that God spit out. They were still alive. They were still breathing air when Jesus sent John to write to them, to their pastors. So when John wrote the letter to the Laodicean church, they were still breathing air. And the Lord knew that they thought that they were on his side. You can't be lukewarm unless you once was in the kingdom of God. The Lord said he wished you were cold or hot. Now he said, I've been teaching that hot was better, but he put cold first. In other words, good or bad. In or out. However it is. But being in the middle is a mixture of the bad. And there's a leaven. If you take a clean bowl of milk and put a little poison in it, or a half a bowl of good milk and fill it up another half with spoiled milk, it's still bad. And if you drink it, you're going to be wishing you didn't. You're going to get sick. And you're going to want to throw up. So Jesus spit out the lukewarm church because of their evil leaven. Don't forget that. We don't just receive salvation. We drive out darkness that will hold us back. And we use the shield of faith to prevent darkness from entering in. And those that have ears to hear will hear. I'm not afraid of those that I'm not afraid for those who have ears to hear. But those that don't have ears to hear, they're not going to make it. And I'm not pleased with what's going to happen to them. But for the sake of those that need to come in, we need people that love God that sincerely. Now, the same pastors the Lord sent me to, I gave them a partial word. The Lord told me not to, he told me what to say. And if they receive it, then I could say the rest of it. See, I had protocols and instructions. If they didn't dialogue with me and ask me, I couldn't tell them any more than I already told them. And most of the time, 99% of the time, I walked away never giving them the rest of the revelation. It's only a few pastors where the Lord gave me a short word because he knew they would be obedient. But there are things about following God, revelations I never had opportunity to speak about because they would end the conversation, change the subject, and try not to talk about it. And the Lord stopped prompting me. The Holy Spirit stopped prompting me to deal with them about it. And I wanted to win. I wanted them to win. Because I knew what would happen if they received the word of God. And I knew what would happen if they rejected the word of God. So I was sad when they rejected. And I wonder why. It made me so, I was so outdone and so grieved that I didn't want to meet any more pastors. And then the Lord sent me to this pastor. I said, Lord, I don't want to meet any more pastors. Instead of going to meet the man, I went home that day. I went to his church. I went home. I didn't want to meet no more pastors. And then here I am vowing that I would obey God, and I went home. I said, Lord, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. The Holy Spirit convicted me about what I did. I said, Lord, I had no right to do that. I'm sorry. I'm going back, and I'm going to talk to that pastor like you want me to. The next week, I went and talked to him. And the Lord gave me a word that happened swiftly. And the word was a simple word. And the Lord said that he told me to tell him that he hadn't seen the hat. And he didn't. What happened after that? His church greatly multiplied. They paid cash for a $15 million building. I thank God for what he's doing. All God needs is people that love him and want to know him. And he didn't even send me back to the man. So, guess he didn't need to. See, God can do great things through people who love him. I thank God for it. And I want people to know the power of what God can do. It's not about competition. See, when people... when they have the leaven of the Pharisees and you tell them a glorious word of God, immediately their mind is going to go to competition. They're going to feel threatened. They can't, the word that caused them to feel provoked will be, it'll be consumed away from them, because their focus is on competition, not the perfect will of God. For this reason, the Lord can't build on his church on that. He said, on this rock I build my church. Those that receive truth. Peter said, Jesus said, who do men say that I am? Peter spoke up, you are Christ, the Son of God. Jesus said, flesh and blood didn't tell you this. The Father revealed this to you. And on this rock I build my church. On this rock I build my church. So when the Lord sends somebody to you and you go to competition instead of reception, if you go to reception, on this rock I build my church. But if you get in competition, you stop the process in your life and those that look to you. Competition. The leaven of the Pharisees, the leaven of Herod. You know, Daddy Herod wanted Jesus did when the wise men came to him. Well, let me know where he is so I can worship him. Then he had all the kids, boys 2 years old and under, killed, trying to kill Jesus. Competition. The leaven of Herod. The leaven of Herod can't rejoice to see others prosper beyond them. The leaven of Herod will rather see it dead. The leaven of Saul jealousy will javelin you because it wants to be chief. See, the leaven of the Pharisees was formed out of a love for darkness, a love for idolatry, a love for power, a love for preeminence. Satanic all day. And all Satan needs is a drop. Somebody to swallow a drop of poison. And they don't repent or drive it out or use their shield of faith. God can't build on that. God will not build on that. He will not. And the anointing it takes to change this world and wake people up and help people come into the kingdom of God before Jesus returns, they can't have it. And because the harvest is great, there's a shortage of people that will do this. There are people out there that's doing the great revival. And they are receptive. They don't get provoked. They can't be controlled with money. They can't be controlled with greed. They can't be controlled with sex. They don't love power. They don't love preeminence. They have no attachment to the leaven of the Pharisees or the leaven of Herod. And they encourage people in life. And I'm saying these things to encourage everybody that has ears to hear. And everybody that want to repent from dead works. See, Jesus addressed the Laodicean church because they could repent if they wanted to. They had knowledge. They just had to repent. They had to get out of the devilment they had gotten themselves into. And receive the heart of God. I don't know how, another way to do that. But fill your heart with the word of God. Go back and study what Jesus say. Repent and obey him in every category. Every category. Everything Jesus said, receive it. Receive the revelation of it. And pray for others. When I asked the Lord to teach me to love his people, he fortified me in love. So a lot of things I didn't drift into. And a lot of things I didn't receive from those that was persuaded around me. But I couldn't conceptualize that people would fall that low. I wouldn't do that. Because I had his love in me. With the love of God in you, you can't sin. With the agape love of God in you, you can't sin. When the enemy tried to tempt me with women, I talk about that sometimes. The Lord taught me this. You love them. You love the women that's trying to tempt you. Love them for who they, you know, as daughters of God. And when I did, I saw them different. And they're supposed to be beautiful. But that I don't need that beauty. I got Jesus. I'm complete in him. I don't need anything outside me to be complete. And everything I have that's a blessing from the outside is just a bonus. And I enjoy my wife. I enjoy my children. I enjoy my work. If anybody helped me in ministry, that's a bonus. But if they don't, I'm going to work and do it. I'll work late if I have to. I'm going to do this. I'm complete in Christ. But anybody that helped me, blessed me, or encouraged me, that's a bonus. Even my wife, and I love my wife. That's not a slight against her. That's just the way it is. Miles Monroe said, if a person need to be married, they need to, then, you know, they're not going to do well in marriage. If they need to be married. But if you're complete in Christ and you marry somebody that's complete in Christ, now you're going to have a marriage. You're going to have a wonderful marriage because your focus is on Jesus. And as long as your focus is on Jesus, you can never fall. When Peter stopped looking at Jesus and started looking at the waves, he began to sink. But when we look at him, when we look at Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, we cannot fail. We cannot sin. We cannot receive the leaven of the Pharisee. We're going to drive it out. Even the revelation knowledge of God will buffer people away from you that have the leaven of the Pharisees in them and the leaven of Herod. Wherever you go, wrong people, they don't want to be around you. You buffer them when you walk in the door. When you come around, they be quiet. And it's noticeable. They're outclassed and they know it. Because Jesus came with you. That's true, folks. I lived in a drug-infested neighborhood. That kind of pride that sells drugs. When you come around, they be quiet when you walk up. And they the ones with the guns. But when you come around, when you love God and you walk up, they start acting right. When I passed out those papers, the good news letters, I gave them to people outside. Anybody that wanted them, I gave it to them. They was out there playing cards in the backyard. I gave all of them one. They started acting right. When you love God, darkness hides. It's the enemy behind the situation that's afraid. When men see men loving God, then they deem it all right to love God. They interested. See, people are not like, they're not as bad as Satan. But the influence, people that receive the influence of Satan, they do what Satan does. They don't always like it. They received it before they knew God, anything about God. But when people that were shaped in darkness, born in darkness, that was their culture. Then when the light come around, they want light. They want to be righteous. They want to be like God. They want to be pure. There are people out there doing wicked things. When the light come around, they're going to want it. And the Lord knows this. He knows who they are. He even said if the miracles that were done here was done in Sodom and Gomorrah, they would have repented a long time ago. Just like the Ninevites. But he had to burn them up because they were wicked. And they had no mediator. They had nobody to come and help them. But the Ninevites was just as bad. The deeds they did were terrible. But they had Jonah. Now Jesus is about to come back. And there are people out there just like the Ninevites and acting like the Ninevites. But because of the compromised church, the Laodicean church, the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod church is out there making a mess of things. They don't have any light. And the Lord is raising up people to be a light. And anybody that will love God in their sight, it will give them the comparison they need to walk out of that junk, to walk out of that mess, that darkness, the satanic rituals that they have gotten themselves into. But when you have the light in you and you resist the light for darkness, the king is coming. That's all I got to say. The king is coming. What you going to do when the king comes and you've been resisting his people for years? Get it right, folks. Be right. Be pure. Receive what Jesus is saying. Change your focus to on him if it's not. And if your focus is already on Jesus, stay there. And don't let anybody change you. And don't let the wickedness of others change you. I don't care who it is. Love God and keep his commandments. On purpose. And don't alter God's word for nobody. Don't alter God's word for success. Don't alter God's word for power, for money. And don't be bought. I'm ashamed of the preachers that do that. They make me not want to ask people for money. Seriously. The Lord had to tell me to give people my information. I don't like doing it because so many crooked, leavenized preachers have messed it up. The word on the street is preachers want your money. I want your soul. And I thank God for the people that help me. Now listen, I love you and God loves you. He deeply loves us and he has people out there. When the king is coming, he knows where you're at. He knows his church. There's one church. He knows his people and he knows who want to be his people. He knows where they're at. And those of you who love God, who want to see people blessed, God's going to give you dreams and visions. He's going to show you people. Now understand this. This is a big world and there's a lot of people. Don't focus on how many people you win to the Lord. Make it your business to deal with the people God revealed to you to deal with. Because he's got others dealing with others. You be faithful where God send you. Let that be your top priority. Please. Because the king is coming. Be fully obedient. Forget about how things look. What people will think. But do what's in God's heart. Do what the Lord give you to do. Fulfill the dreams that he give you. Minister to those that he send you to. That's how you're going to do your part. Then God will do his part in your life. And I love the Lord my God and King. I thank God for all that he's doing. To the pure, everybody's pure. But guess what? Everybody's really not pure. That's what used to trip me up. I'm going to go backwards a little bit in this. This is Titus chapter 1. I'm just going to start at the top. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior, to Titus, mine own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are lacking or wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I appointed thee. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly, for a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre. You hear all that? Okay, verse 8. But a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. These have the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod all day. Verse 12. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. Understand this. People who mock others, that's not God's way. Verse 13. This witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Now watch this. Unto the pure, all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable. Just like these people Paul just described, being abominable and disobedient unto every work and unto every good work reprobate. They're wretched. Now, I want you to consider these things because God loves us. Now, I'm going to close with this. There's a book by... It's called The Next Move of God by Fuchsia Pickett. And I was blessed to hear her at the church at Gardendale. Lynn Lawson was the pastor that invited her. Now, I'm going to read up. This is in page 61. And the Lord spoke something against those that love power that want to rise up like Absalom did. Now, this is an excerpt of what she spoke. It said, God spoke a startling message to me one night as I was ministering in a church in North Carolina. He declared, I will not allow anyone who touches my plan, my program, my prophets, or my prophecy to be part of or participate in the next move of God. Now, she said this way back then. And then she said, I immediately recognized the book of Jude in outline form in that statement. He had mentioned four of the seven steps that led the church into apostasy. I realized that there are sins committed against God that are much worse than sins we commit against our fellow man. It is not a light matter to be involved in criticism or betrayal of an anointed servant of God. See, God can't build he will not build on the leaven of the Pharisees or the leaven of Herod. And Jesus took measures to show his people, his disciples, how to love people. He washed their feet. God washed their feet. Jesus washed the apostles' feet. So we need to remember how God is, and not let the persuasion of this world, this evil world, get in us or be part of us. Now, I'm out of time, and I believe that those that love God will follow him. and those that follow him, it's going to be over the top good. It may be what God gave you to do may seem insignificant, but it's powerful. If God told you to do it, it's very powerful. Do it. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. Jesus Christ loves you. Stay in victory. Stay anointed. Stay in the move of God. Stay in trust. The King is coming. The King is coming. Our King is coming.